Hello and welcome to another episode on Football Talk Podcast. My name's Ozzy and I'm your host for today's show. Only four games played in match week 29, but that doesn't mean there was any shock moments or drama over the weekend. It's Premier League football after all, anything's possible. So let's start with the game that shocked the football world, in my opinion, and that was Fulham versus Tottenham, which as you can see ended 3-0. Fulham destroyed Tottenham Hotspur at the Cottage and could possibly have damaged their chances of claiming a top four finish. The big chance came from Robinson, who's charging into the box. Here's a cutback pass, and unfortunately, none of the other Fulham players were on the same wavelength. Tottenham have a huge chance to take the lead moments later as Maddison squares it to Son in the middle of the box. Son hits a side-footed effort but curls it away from the goal. So should have done better there, in my opinion. Then Maddison also has a chance himself with a low shot towards goal, but just misses the post. But then it was Fulham that got the breakthrough. Lovely cross by Robinson from the left-hand side. Muniz controls it and places the shot fantastically into the corner. What a goal from Fulham. I have to say this out loud. Fulham will find it very difficult to keep hold of both players at the club next season, in my opinion. Robinson has been attracting a lot of interest, including Liverpool, so he won't be short of any suitors. And Muniz has been in amazing form in the last couple of months. That's 7-7, I believe, in the Premier League. And I'm sure he's caught the eye of some scouts because he's been very impressive. And I'm a fan in terms of how he's been playing so far. That first goal gave Fulham a huge confidence boost. And the second goal arrived very early in the second half. Iwobi hits a free ball to Castagna, who hits a low cross. But Lukic executes a smart touch with his knee and guides the goal. And he did exactly that, beating Vicario. And then Fulham then found the third goal in the hour mark from a corner. Bassi finds the loose ball, hits a shot that ends up hitting the inside of the post. The ball finds itself in the six-yard box. Muniz was brave and stretches to get the crucial touch that puts the goal past the goal line and makes it 3-0 for Fulham. What a home victory for Fulham, and I'm sure the fans loved every moment of it as they cooked the cockerel at the Cottage. Let's just call it Chicken Cottage. But jokes aside, that is a huge blow for Tottenham. But having said that, it's not all over. They still have a game in hand and are 3 points behind Villa. But if they had got a victory over Fulham in this fixture, it could have leapfrogged them to fourth position and with a good few points ahead of their rivals. Next fixture, let's move on to West Ham versus Aston Villa, which ended 1-1. And Villa began the game very, very positively as Leon Bailey attacks that right-hand side, hits a free ball towards Watkins. He hits the first-time shot on the turn. Great save by Areola in the end. Bailey goes again, but this time his cross is blocked by Emerson's arm. Huge penalty shots from the Villa players. Now, the big question is, was it a penalty? In my opinion, I think it was. It wasn't Stonewall, but they have been given this season. So you'd have to say West Ham probably feel a bit robbed with that decision there. West Ham capitalized and then opened the score sheet themselves as Carfor hits a fantastic cross on the plate for Antonio, who scores with a diving header. Then moments later, Antonio scores again, but this time it's ruled out for handball. Villa pushing. Ezri Konsa has a left-footed shot that's blocked by Areola, but it was Zaniolo who equalizes for Villa. Great play from Diaby on the right-hand side. He cuts back a pass towards the danger zone and Zaniolo comes charging in and pretty much toe-punts it into the back of the net. But then there was a huge drama at the end of the game as West Ham thought they had scored a last-minute winner with Suchek sliding in with a finish. But after the goal was reviewed, it was ruled out for handball. And I have to be honest, I think it was the right call as he pretty much pushed the ball using his arm into the goal. But hey, maybe they deserved a penalty early in the game. So even though a point is a good result for West Ham on paper, I think they will feel disappointed that they didn't get all 3 points in the end. Villa was certainly lucky to walk away with at least a point to their name. Next fixture, Burnley versus Brentford. The Clarets secured a huge win at home in Turf Moor. Burnley were awarded a penalty as Reguilon fouls Vitinho from behind, clear and obvious foul, but it looked like maybe wasn't going to be given due to the fact that VAR took forever to come to a decision. But thankfully for Burnley, they got the penalty in the end. But that's not all. Reguilon also gets a straight red for his troubles. Danish winger Bjørn Larsen steps up for the penalty and smashes it low and hard into the bottom corner. Great finish to give Burnley the lead. But Burnley almost gave it all away with a moment of craziness. O'Shea hits a back pass without looking. The ball almost creeps past the goal line, but the goalkeeper, Muric, arrives just in time to make the sliding clearance. Tony gets the loose ball, but is unable to trouble the keeper. Burnley then have another moment to increase the lead. Asignon hits a low cross towards Fofana, who's in the six-yard box, literally a few yards away from goal. Free as day, but somehow he misses the target completely. A huge miss. And quite frankly, I'm not sure how he missed it, to be fair. But then he gets a second chance, and this time he made sure it counted. Olibert hits a free ball to Fofana, and he delicately dinks the low shot as it rolls into the goal. Fantastic finish from the striker. Brentford get a consolation goal through a Simon Ayers header, but they thought they almost got the winner in the last moment of the game as the ball is lofted towards goal. Tony clashes into Muric, and the ball hits the back of the net. Now, the referee blows the whistle for a foul, and rightly so. You can't bash into a goalkeeper in that manner. But that's a huge win for Burnley, with Nottingham Forest being deducted 4 points for breaching financial fair play. This is a huge win for the Clarets. If Burnley can notch up some consecutive wins in the upcoming games, who knows what the future holds? Now, I wouldn't rule them out completely in terms of Premier League status. They have a glimmer of hope now. And the final fixture, Luton versus Nottingham Forest, which ended 1-1. Luton managed to grab a late equaliser to secure a point in a very tense relegation battle. Ross Barkley almost scores with a fantastic left-foot strike from distance, just misses the target. Former Liverpool cult hero Divock Origi almost opens the scoreline with his shot, but Rhys Burke makes a fantastic goal-line clearance as everyone thought that ball was going to hit the back of the net. But Forrest managed to find the opening and open the score sheet. Lovely through ball from Gibbs White. He pretty much didn't even look at his colleague there. Straight to Chris Woods, and he applied a sliding finish to make it 1-0 to Forrest. Mengi did score from close range for Luton Town, but unfortunately, he handballed it before hitting the back of the net. And unfortunately, that meant the goal was ruled out. Elanga was also close to scoring as he goes through on goal. But Mengi makes a crucial clearance at the last moment to clear the lines. Eventually, Luton managed to get the equaliser at the 89th minute as Luke Berry turns and shoots from close range. Good point for Luton Town. That's moved them out of the relegation zone in 17th position. Maybe they can go on and climb up the table to secure Premier League status. Just got a few comments here. And first comment is from General Bolandres. He says, hello, hello. Hello to yourself. Thank you for tuning in. And then Fozzie's World. Big up, Fozzie. He says, yes, bro, late one. Yeah, it's a late one today. Trying to make time to do these shows. So, yeah, is that how are you, my guy? I'm all good, brother. Hope you are well as well. And another comment from General. It says, do you think Moyes keeps his job at the end? I think Moyes keeps his job. I know they've had a bit of a mixed bag in terms of their season. Sometimes they've looked really good. Sometimes they've been pretty poor where, you know, the likes of Arsenal have demolished them. But look, if you look at the league right now, they're seventh in the league with 44 points. They could potentially still qualify for European football. I don't think it's a bad season. I know on paper, or maybe some of the performance suggests that, you know, the team haven't really done well. But he's had a lot of injuries throughout the season. I think he's done a decent job. So I wouldn't say Moyes is in contention of getting sacked. There's a lot of managers that are doing a worse job and still have a job secured. So let me know what you think. I think he's doing a decent job. I don't think, maybe due to, you know, winning the Europa Conference League, maybe the expectations are a bit higher for the fans. But I feel like he's done a decent job. So yeah, let me know what you think as well. And that's the end of Match Week 29 review. But before we close the show, it's time to announce the FPL Manager of the Week, and that goes to Santi Boy and his team is called Santi Boys FC, and he managed to gain 44 points. It wasn't a high scoring match, obviously, because there's only four games, but well done to Santi Boy. That wild card came to good use. You've moved up the table in 133rd position. Now, in terms of my performance, I got a decent score of 22 points. So I've moved up to 53rd in the league. Small progress being made. My aim is to get as high up the table as I can. No benchmark set. I don't want to, you know, embarrass myself and say I'm going to end in this position. So we'll see how the weeks commence. Just got another comment. And then from Ken Rose says, hey, well, how about the FA Cup? In terms of West Ham, they're not in the FA Cup, I don't believe, are they? So let me refresh my memory. No, they're not in the FA Cup. So no, I don't know if that's in reference to West Ham. He's also said, also Kane getting injured during the weekend. Has he been injured? Oh, gosh. I did hear a rumor, but I don't know the extent of the injury. I believe it's an ankle injury, isn't it? So, yeah, squeaky bum time in terms of England with the Euros coming up. So yeah, fingers crossed. He has been in good form, despite, you know, his team not progressing in the lead. Looks like Leverkusen might run away with it, but who knows? Anything can happen. I'm sure you guys will know last season, Bayern Munich won on the last day of the season, so anything's possible. But yeah, in terms of England, hopefully, you know, it's not a serious injury and he will be available in the coming months. He's got a few months to get back into fitness, so we'll see how it goes. So you're asking me in general. So I'm a Liverpool fan, so yeah, it's not a good week in terms of the FA Cup. From my point of view, a very, very disappointing result. We were complacent. I'll be honest, in the first half of that game, United were a far aggressive team, really, really good on the ball, created a number of chances, maybe should have been on the lead at half-time. But somehow Liverpool managed to get two goals in 3 minutes just before half-time. So I'm thinking, you know, this is our killer instinct in front of our faces where we haven't been great, but we've got the two goals. So now it's time for us to capitalize and make sure we take that lead in the end. And the second half, we were just complacent. We just didn't step up to the next level. We had chances to secure the win and just, yeah, very, very lackluster from Liverpool. And the substitutions that came on, I'm not going to highlight certain names because it will seem like I'm bashing certain players, but they didn't have any impact on the game as well. And in the end, it just looked like a tired team. Yeah, very, very disappointing to lose. For me, obviously, it's a rival team, so it hurts a bit more. It stings, as you can imagine. But it was just a man in defeat where we really struggled as a team. So yeah, let's see how it goes. So, and for United point of view, they managed to get a good semi-final tie against Coventry. But hey, don't rule out Coventry. Just because they're not a Premier League team doesn't mean they can't do damage. So I'm sure all of us Liverpool fans will be supporting Coventry on the day. So we'll see how the semi-finals commence, which will be taking place literally a month away on the 20th of April. And got a few more comments there. What a great weekend. Yeah, depending who you support. Not for a Liverpool fan, unfortunately. They called Leverkusen for a reason. Maybe it's time to break that mold. You know, I know they've never won it in their history, but Alonso's still unbeaten. We're towards end of March right now, so who knows? He might be breaking the mold there. And then your other comment said, probably the biggest highlight for Liverpool was that 5-2 chance. Yeah, that's another thing. I said we were complacent, but our decision making from a forward point of view was shocking. Gakpo, there was a couple of moments where he was driving the ball, had Nunes on his left side, didn't go for that. And there was a couple of other moments like that as well. So yeah, very frustrating game to watch for Liverpool. But hey, we move on. You know, United fans are still enjoying the moment and fair play to them. You know, there's not been much for them to cheer about this season. So yeah, why not do it in a quiet week during international break? So yes, that's my viewpoint on the FA Cup. And yeah, that's the end of our Match Week 29 review. So thank you to everyone for tuning in. Thank you to Fozzy's World and General for your comments. If you're new to the channel, please don't forget to like, comment, share, and subscribe. In terms of upcoming content, we will be doing an FC24 show on Thursday. But in terms of the next Premier League Match Week review show, it will take place in around a couple of weeks, on the 2nd of April, obviously due to international break. So just got another comment here before we conclude from Genro, says, are Argentina still favourites for Copa? I'd probably say they are, to be fair. You'd probably be... I think if you want to label like a dark horse, Uruguay for me look very strong. And obviously you can never rule out Brazil, but I'd probably say Argentina as well. That'd be the team that I think are favourites. But Uruguay, they have the players, they have, you know, Nunes, and they've got Valverde as well. So who knows? But yeah, on paper, you'd say Argentina, but in these knockout competitions, you just never know. So an interesting watch will definitely be for the neutrals there. And before we wrap up the show, I have a small announcement to showcase. So rather than me talking about it, here it is. Welcome to Ozworld, the home of custom and unique designs referencing the football world. Our designs are tailor-made for all football fans, so express your views through the clothing you wear. Purchase your shirt today at ozworld.co.uk. So this is a new business venture that I've just started, so please show your support and follow at Ozworld Store on IG, Twitter, TikTok and Facebook. The website is ozworld.co.uk. Have a browse through the collection. Hopefully you'll like some of my designs. I'll be adding more in the near future. I'll also wear some of the shirts in the upcoming shows so you can see how it looks, because it's premium quality and a bargain for the price that I've set. So yeah, please be on the lookout for it, and yeah, show your support. And that's it for today, guys. So thank you for everyone for tuning in. Take care, stay safe, and I hope to see you all very, very soon. Goodbye.